Good morning. This is Dr. Hardin, and God bless you that's going to tune in and you that is already waiting to tune in. I want you to know that I thank God for you and to all of you that's going to be tuning in this morning to Moments of Inspiration. That's right, Moments of Inspiration. And that's what I'm here today to bring you, some moments of inspiration. And so God has been good to me, and I know he's been good to you. And I know that God is who he say he is. And I just want to thank all of you. Last week, I miss you very, very much. I miss you. And I was I had an emergency that I had to do. And I just want you to know, Sister McIntyre, that I thank you for watching today and all of you that's going to be tuning in. But I was absent on last week, but I'm here today. That's right, I'm here today. I was not sick. I just had a procedure that I had done 12 years ago that I had to have it just make some adjustment. And so those are things that we do in life. But we thank God for all of you. And I'm going to bring you some moments of inspiration. So good morning to all of you. Let me pray. Dear God, I thank you that you, God, are who you say you are. Thank you, God, that you are everywhere. God, you know everything and you have all power. And God, this morning, God, I'm asking that you would let that anointing down one more time, that yokes will be destroyed and stronghold will be broken. Men, women, boys, and girls will be enhanced, inspired, and enlightened. And I pray for that special anointing, God, that whenever this is heard, wherever it is shown at a delayed time, that they also would be inspired, enhanced, and enlightened. And I give you the glory and I give you the praise in that name that's above every name, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank God, amen and amen. God bless you, Sister Miller. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I'm going to talk today about the unity of the body. That's right, the unity of the body of Christ. And that's going to be from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through verse 16. Verse 11 through verse 16. Oftentimes, when we read that verse and we make those things, we always normally try to put it on, well, this is what we ought to be doing for the world and da-da-da-da-da. But this is not about the world. This is about you and me. And it's about the body of Christ at large. What Paul was doing, Paul was talking to the churches at Ephesus to encourage them to be in unity, to encourage them to understand that whether they came under the law or whether they came under grace, they should not be divided. It was not circumcision that made them who they were. It was God that made them who they were. And so Paul was telling them about unity. And this is what we need in the body of Christ now, is unity. It doesn't make any difference if you say, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Catholic, I'm a this, I'm that, Church of God in Christ. It doesn't matter about those titles. Thank you, Sister Dale. It doesn't matter about those titles. What it does matter about is the unity in the body of Christ. Regardless of what is your label that you have on your church, the label that you have for the body, we are one body in Christ. And so Paul said in chapter 4 of Ephesians and verse 11, he said, and he gave some. Now notice he didn't say he gave all, but he gave some, Sister Patricia Chamber. He gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. He gave some evangelists. He gave some pastors and teachers. Now, what did he give them for? There was a purpose that he gave them for. And Paul would let them know, because they were saying, well, these are not circumcised and they are not of us. And just being calling on Jesus Christ, we don't know him, da, 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 da. So Paul said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teaching. And notice what he gave them for. Once we understand this, it'll make us get unified in the body of Christ. Verse 12 says, why did he give a pastor? Why did he give prophets? Why did he give evangelists? Why did he give teachers? And why did he do it? Well, verse 12 said, for the perfecting, the completion of the saints. Now, God didn't give them just to be giving them to have a name. I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm a teacher, I'm a preacher, I'm an evangelist. No, God didn't give you that. That's not the reason he gave them. He gave them for the perfecting, and that word perfection means completion of the body. We are not complete in our churches if we don't have these offices that operates in our church. Now, they may not be a member of our church, but we should allow prophecy. We should allow evangelists. We should allow teachers and pastors. The pastor is over the flock. He's the lead and feed. The apostles are the one that establishes churches. And sometimes when they're establishing them like Paul did, they turn them over to other people. So they're the one that are sent to establish the church, the minister, break up the ground. And then sometimes Paul brought in Timothy, brought in Titus and others, Philemon, and all of those to put over Philemon, to put over the churches. That was the job of the apostle. So he gave some to go in like the Marine or the Vanguard. And when there's a war, they normally send the Marines in first. When the Marine go in, they send, as a matter of fact, if it's an island or a city or something, the Navy hits the target places with a bomb from a distance. And then they send in a Marine. After Marine, the Army comes in and occupy. The Air Force comes in. All of these, they're working together. So that's what you got to understand, that an apostle is no better than a pastor. Pastor is no better than a prophet. A prophet is no better than an evangelist, and an evangelist is no better than a teacher. They all is for the perfecting of the church, to complete the body of Christ. Now, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So they come in to build up the body of Christ, so the body of Christ can continue to get God's word out to the people. Out to the people. Sometime in our era, in our age now, and in this era, what I want to say now, what do people do? They say, oh, I'm an evangelist. I'm supposed to go here and there and da-da-da-da-da. I'm an apostle, and you have to honor me as an apostle. I'm a this and that. I'm a preacher. I'm a teacher. I'm this. No, you are nothing without Christ, and you got to know what office that you stand for, and when you know what office you stand for, you will be able to work in that office to know that your office is no different than any other. It just describes your purpose, and your purpose is to do what? Your purpose is for perfecting the church, to help the church to be completed. It's not complete without you doing the thing that you should do. And then that's why Paul said to the church, look what he said in verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith, till we all come into the unity of the faith, till we grow, that we're growing together. It doesn't make, it's a bad thing if the pastor is growing and the church is not growing. That's right. It's a bad thing if the pastor is growing and the church is not growing. I don't care how much education if you have, and you can go back and get your doctor, PhD, and get everything else. If you're not teaching where your members can understand you and grow with you, you're going up by yourself and you're going to leave them alone. And pretty soon they're going to leave you because they say you're teaching too high above us. Make it plain and simple. My yoke is easy and my burdens are light. We're not trying to impress anybody. We're trying to grow people. And so to grow people, he said, until, look what it said in verse 13, till we all come into the unity of faith. All of us now, we don't need nobody left behind. Nobody should be left behind. Everybody should be able to grow. That's what we got to understand in our ministry. Everybody should be able to grow, Jacqueline. They not growing by myself. I'm not growing because I'm doing this and that, but we grow in the body of Christ. We grow. How do we grow? We teach it the same thing. We preach the same thing. Not the same way, but the method that God has given us. When we get through saying what we say, it's the same thing. It's like ketchup. You can buy ketchup with different labels on it, but it's still ketchup. It got to taste like ketchup. Now, some may have a little different spice in it or whatever, but it's still ketchup. And so you can't just take ketchup and turn it into mayonnaise and say it's ketchup. It's not mayonnaise, it's ketchup. So if you're going to teach ketchup, wherever you buy ketchup at, you're looking for it to taste basically the same. And so until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, God. Now, let's take something to know the knowledge of God. Because to get knowledge, you have to know. Know plus know. When you know something and you know something and you know something, plus know, know plus know, know plus know equals knowledge. And so how did knowledge come? Wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to understand the word of God or to understand any circumstances, whatever you don't know, when you wisdom helped you to know it. And so once you have the wisdom and ability to know it, then you know it, because no plus no is no. No plus no is knowledge. No plus no equal knowledge. And knowledge plus knowledge equal understanding. And understanding something means that you can arrange it so you can teach it. Understanding is the ability to arrange what I know from the ability that I have to teach it. So no teacher cannot teach without knowledge. They have to have knowledge to teach, and they have to have understanding. And that's why the Bible said, out of all your getting, get an understanding. Out of all your getting, out of all your getting, no equals knowledge, 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 knowledge equals understanding. So that's what he said in verse 13. Thank you, Brother Bailey, for joining us this morning. Now, listen. So he said, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of God, of the Son of God. So we need to know that we know that we know that we know Jesus Christ. Now, this is what we're getting ready. This is the unity of the body. When we know that we know that we know Jesus Christ, then we know Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he's a perfect man unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so we want to grow until we are in the knowledge and understanding of Christ. That's right, of Christ. God bless you. Hallelujah. So that's verse 13. Verse 14, that we henceforth, and I learned what henceforth means when I was in the court. It wasn't for me. I was sitting in the court and waiting for a parking ticket, not a parking ticket, for a violation to go before the judge. And so I was in there, and the judge said to this man, he said, you're going to be apprehended right now, henceforth. And I said, the man said, Your Honor, what do henceforth mean? And he said, henceforth mean right now, you going to jail. And so what I learned from that, we henceforth, that means right now, should be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftsmen whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Do you know that there are people that just waiting to deceive you? Just waiting to deceive you? My God, just waiting to do it. And they got all types of tricks now, all type of things and all type of games and all type of stuff. They're trying to get you to come on the web to do this and to do that, and saying, listen, you know, if you do this and you do that, you know, all of these things. Listen, let me tell you something. God don't need them to do all those things, Sister Jacqueline. They don't need those things. God is telling us, know the word of God. Know that you don't have to be there. Come over here and I'll make you a deacon. I'll make you an elder. I'll make you a missionary. I'll give you a license, and I'll give you this, and I'll give you this. I'll make you a bishop. That don't mean nothing about the name. Forget about the name. The names and titles don't mean anything if you're not in the unity of the body of Christ, that you no more children, that you don't be fooled with by the craftiness. You think because they call you a bishop, or because you're ordained elder, or you're a missionary, or you're an evangelist, or you're an apostle, or you this and that, that you're greater. You're no greater than no one else. You're just there. Make sure that God called you to be that, and somebody then send you. Listen, it's better for to be called and sent than to went. When you went by yourself. And that's what the Bible said. This is what happened with Abraham. The Bible said God called Abraham, and he sent Abraham out, and Lot went also. And so a lot of time, you got a lot of folks that just went. God didn't send them, they just went. And so therefore, they're out there by themselves. And my God, when they by themselves, Shakir, when they by themselves, they are on their own. They are on their own. And so we got to understand that this is why God called apostles. This is why God called prophets. This is why he called evangelists. This is why he called pastors and teachers. So he said, look what it said now, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. That's trickery of men. The cunning crafting. Do you know there are people working tricks to get you? Selling water, selling handkerchiefs, selling all of these things, gadget. You don't, listen, freely you give. They can give you a prayer cloth, and I'm not against giving prayer cloths out. I'm not against giving oil out. We gave it out on Friday, Good Friday, giving oil blessed out, but we didn't charge folk for it. We didn't say, this is all been blessed, and it came from Jerusalem, and it came from here, and you for $5 or $10 or $50, we give you this. No. That's a game. That's a trick. Nobody's selling handkerchiefs. You bless them. And we got that from what? Paul. Paul blessed aprons and handkerchiefs and gave them to the people, and God cast out demons, but he didn't sell them to them. And so we have to look out for all of these games and tricks that people are working today. I'm trying to get you to understand what the ministry is here. Then verse 15 says, That's verse 15 said, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So if we speak the truth in love, don't worry about, you know, what telling what other folks said, but speak the truth in love. Now, love is of God. That's right. Love is of God. And when we speak the truth in love, then we're helping somebody. We help people when we tell them the truth. The Bible said you should know the truth and the truth will make you free. That's right. Truth makes us free, not lies. Lies bundle in lies. Lies captivate us. Lies hold us hostage. Lies lead us into condemnation. All of these things, you know, if you tell one lie, you got to tell another one to cover it up. It's hard to keep lying and tell the same thing over and over. But the truth comes out. The truth comes from your heart. And the truth reveals who you are. The truth lets folks know that you know who you are. And the truth lets you know that you know. You don't tell it a different way. You tell it the same way. And so you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up, that you may grow up, and those that hear you may grow up. And listen, we got to take some people with us. We got some young folks need to stand on our shoulders. They're trying to do it by themselves. They don't know how to do it by themselves. They're trying to do it by what they read on the book. They can't do it just by reading the book. All of us need some living example. And a living example is not a living example. We need some living example. Example is when we live and people can see your life. They can see that you stand for what you say. They can see that you're not saying one thing and doing another thing. If I came to you every Wednesday morning here and telling you some fake stuff and false stuff just to get your attention, then God can't use me and it wouldn't edify, it wouldn't help nobody. But I'm here not because you told me to come on. I'm not here because somebody paying me to come on. I'm here because I want to be on to edify the word of God. I want to tell people the truth. And the Bible said they should know the truth and the truth should make them free. I get joy and I get peace. You know, I teach at the college and we've been at the college for almost 20 years, Long Beach Christian College. And I teach at the college. I don't take a pay. I don't get paid. I pay my staff. I got 11 people working. I pay my staff, but I don't get paid for doing that. I teach because my whole payment for this is to see people life change. That's right. To see people change, life change. To see people grow. To see people that come in that thought they knew what they knew and found out they didn't know what they know. And what when they ask me, what are you going to learn if they come to our college? What am I going to learn? And I tell them, what you don't know. That's right. What you don't know. There's a whole lot of stuff you don't know. You heard somebody said it, but you didn't investigate. You didn't go into it in depth. You didn't do any study on it. That's why it's a danger thing to hear some of the quacks that haven't went into an in-depth study on this virus. And then when people tell them that they should take a shot, they say, well, I don't believe that because they read on the internet or Facebook what some people that haven't had all the knowledge, that haven't did the scientific study on it, haven't did anything to tell you what's going to help you, but telling you what's going to hurt you. And they're putting fear in it. They're doing it in our community, most of it, because if they put it on the other place, the mother folk just blot it out. But I want you to understand something. Doctors are put here for to help you. And there's a lot of quacks, but there's more doctors. 99% of the people that are taking medicine are doctors. They got their degree. And maybe 5 or 6 of them may be quacks and doing some stupid stuff, but most of them is trying to help you. They took an oath and they love what they're doing. You think a doctor want to do stuff to hurt you? No, they want to get their name out that they invented this medicine. They came up with this to help you. That's what you want to do. That's why they put their name on it. You don't want to put your name on something that's killing folks or destroying folks. You don't want to say that I did this and I did that unless you're a nut. So you got to understand and get knowledge and get understanding. And above all, get knowledge, because knowledge and wisdom and knowledge and understanding will keep you going. That's why they'll keep you going. And so listen to what it says here. The last verse, from whom, this is verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Now you got to know your place. You got to know where you fit. A lot of time what we find out is a lot of time you're in the ministry, but you don't know where you fit. You jump from place to place. Ursha, deacon, greeter, missionary, helper, everything. You want to be involved. Hospitality. Find where you fit. And that's what it stands. We're like a wheel on a wheel with the grooves, and the groove, one groove goes into another like a bicycle chain. If you don't paddle and you miss a link is out, then it's going to skip. And so you know you got to find out what link you are in the body of Christ, and that you fit. Where you fit, and my God, and where you fit and where you join in to keep the wheel turning, to keep the motor going. Do you understand? The crankshaft would keep the motor going. And it's got a belt around it. They got the belt got to turn. The battery got to be there. The battery got to ignite the spark. The spark to ignite the fuel. And the fuel kept the pressure of the, I'm not a mechanic, but the pressure of the, what do we call it? But anyway, going up and down in the car, and the fuel is there, and it catches on fire. And the fire, Sister Granberry, the fire is what causes the engine to be fire inside. And the fire have the pressure to pull the whole car or the truck. And you got all of that fire going on, and you got all of that power going on, and everything, the spark plug doing what they supposed to do. The carburetor did what he was supposed to do. The alternator distributor, he distributed where he was supposed to be distributed. The crankshaft turned it over. The wheels are going together because they've all got that force. And one is turning faster than the other to pull enough force to pull it on. And you got to be there. And whether you the slow, fast, start, medium, or whatever, do your part. So we all are fitly joined together, and we're working for the same purpose. Nobody's going to get a pat on the back, but God is going to give you your crown. And so let's work for the same purpose and stop fighting each other. Stop jumping from here to there. And get said, Lord, where do I fit? What am I supposed to do? I got to help the body increase. I'm here to help you increase. I want to increase you in knowledge. I want to increase you in faith. I want to increase you in the word of God. And we faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing means to listen with an intent of obeying. If you don't obey God's word, you don't have an intent that you didn't hear. And that's why the older parents used to ask us, when they say something to us, the parents would say, did you hear me? That means you're not moving. You're not obeying me. And if you kept sitting there like these children do today, they had some more power to help you get up to do what they told you to do, because they wanted to know, did you hear? If they said, go over there and do that, that means they did it, that you to get up. Now this day and time, they tell a child to sit down 35 times. The child don't sit down because they know you don't really mean it. So they laugh at you and you think it's cute. But let me tell you something. If you don't discipline them, somebody else is going to do it. And so verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. If you're in unity, we've joined together. If you're in unity, you much part as I am. If you're in unity, you're singing to help to get the service started. As great as my preaching to help motivate the folk. If you are in the ushering folks in to sit down, you're doing a good work. If you're greeting them at the door with a smile, you're doing a great work. If you're deacon to make sure that things are in order and safe and secure, you're doing a great work. If you're on the parking lot helping parking the cars as they come in, you're doing a great work. You're all a part of the body of Christ. So don't think that simply because you don't get to sit sometime in a high seat that you're not any different from the other. Do what God has called you to do. This is what the body of Christ is not in unity. If you say, at my church, we don't have to do this, we don't have to wear this, and we don't have to do that, and so forth. Your church, if it's a Bible church, your church should be doing the same thing that God said is my church, and my church should be doing the same thing. That's right what God said. Let every man be a lie, but let God be the truth. And so let's stop this foolishness. I'm talking about what they do at my church. And my church is not your church. It's the church that you go to, because the church is us, and the church is us everywhere we go. That's what we got to understand. We are the body of Christ. We makes up the body. And then you got to understand that there are different departments in the church. My God, the pastor is the under shepherd. He is the one that leads and feeds and teaches. You cannot teach unless you are a study, unless you are a person that is given to study, and you study, and that's how you learn how a teacher is an observer. They observe all things, and they teach all things that God have taught them. Then you got to have that prophet, the foretell and forthtell. They got to tell you some things that going to happen and some things that have not happened, and some things that when they happen, why they happen. That's a prophet. If they can't do that, they're not a prophet. They're a false prophet. If they not have never set up a church and established churches and talking about the apostles, they are not apostles. They just false apostles. They just got their name. If they will tell you an evangelist and you waiting for somebody to call you so you can go get an offering, you're not an evangelist. You just got the name of an evangelist. If you said you're a missionary and you're not on a mission for either feeding folks, helping folks, doing things that need to be done, they don't have to be in Africa and you're in America. There could be some people right up your street that need your help. So if you said you're a missionary and you're not on a mission, you missed your mission and your nary. And so you need to get back on your mission. If you said that you are a pastor and you're not leading and feeding your folk and growing your peoples in the word of God, studying to show yourself approval unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, rightly telling the people the truth. Tell the people the truth when it hurt. Tell the people the truth even when it hurts you. And you know that you sometimes I've had to cry when I told people something, but God told me to tell them, and I had to tell them that. And so that's what you are, a pastor. Sometimes people tell me, I want to be a pastor. I want to be this and that. They're looking for, thinking it's a glorious job. It's not a glorious job. Listen, if you're a supervisor, a president of a corporation, everything falls on you. Everything falls on the leader. And so the leaders of my people call folks to fail. And so what we got to understand is that this is what Paul is telling us. Let's get into the unity of the spirit. Let's cut out this foolishness. Let's get back to where God wants us to be. And let's do the thing that God wants us to be. And I'm closing here now, but I want to tell you something. Unity brings us together. And if we come together, we got to understand something, that the devil is using this pandemic to sort of split the church. And there are going to be some people that never come back to the city, and because they're going to say that they're afraid of a crowd. But I heard the Bible say, fail not to assemble yourself together as the manner of some is of valor, as a matter of some is, the manner of some is. So we're better together. And I'm not saying we come back and stack up on each other again. I'm not saying that if you think that you got it, anybody that's afraid and don't trust God, don't come back. Stay at home. Fellowship is good, and thank God that we're live streaming. Thank God that I'm able to get this to hundreds of you today just by sitting here at my desk. But I want you to understand something. There is a time that you need somebody. There's a time that you're going to need somebody. You need a touch, you need a look, and you need a word. And there's time that you don't want to be by yourself. And there's time that you do want to be by yourself. There's time that you just said, well, Lord, I just need to be me today. I don't want to be with nobody else. I just want to be with me today, Sister Moore. I just want to be with me. But there's other time that you just need somebody. You need a touch. You need a look, and you need a word. That's what Peter and them gave the blind man. The man sitting down, the beggar, they said, look on us. And the man was looking on them expecting to receive something. But Peter and them told him, said, silver and gold have I none. No, I don't have none, but such as I have. What do you have, Peter? What do you have, John? I'm looking at you. Said, look on us. And the man looked on them with expectation. And then Peter said, he gave him a look. He gave him a word. He said, look on us. And then the man looked on him, and Peter and John were looking on him. And then Peter gave him a touch. He took him by the hand and lifted him up. And the man got up jumping and shouting for joy. And there's some time that you're going to need a word, you're going to need a look, and you're going to need a touch. And that's what I'm telling you, that God wants us to get back into unity and get back into fellowship with each other. And thank God for you today. Thank God for you today that tuned in. And I hope that you post this. Maybe it don't help you, but there's somebody that don't, you may know that I don't know, and you can preach to them. That's part of this preaching here, Sister Dale. That's part of it, that you can say to them, I'm gonna post this, and I'm gonna send it as far as I can, and let them tell your friend to post it. And my God, they post it. This is how we get the world. This is what he said, until we all come into the unity of the body of Christ, that I'm enhancing you, and you enhancing me, you enhancing others, and others are enhancing others, and we keep it going. And therefore, we will not have no division in the body of Christ. We will all be one until we all come into the unity of the body of Christ, until we all come into the same thing. Not the same exact thing, but the same thing that's saying the same thing, that mean the same thing, that get the same results. God bless you on today, and thank you so much for tuning in to Moments of Inspiration. Father, I pray now, and I ask God that you would send your word, God, throughout the universe, that men, women, boys, and girls will come into the unity of Christ. They will be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, God, by confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I want him to come into my heart and save me from this untold generation. And God, if you save me, I will worship you and serve you for the rest of my life with your ability, God, that you give me. And God, I pray that those that come into you, come to you, you would send them and guide them to a church, God, that is teaching the word, and they would be able, God, to share the word and grow in the word. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And today, God, I give you the glory, and I give you the praise, and I give you the thanks for all that you've done and all that you're going to continue to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank God. Amen and amen. God bless you, and thank you so much. And you that are watching, if you can send an offering, then it's on the stream, 135 West Victoria Street here in the city of Long Beach. Beach, California, 90805. Again, 135 West Victoria Street here in the city of Long Beach, California, 90805. Or you can go on Push Pay if you have the app already downloaded, Push Pay or Giveify. And you can give in just a short minute to help keep this ministry going. That's right, to help keep this ministry going. And all of these things. And it's you the reason that God have put me in your heart to share this on a Wednesday at 10 a.m. And if the Lord said the same, and if you're in our area and you're close by and you want to drop an offering off, you can stop by the church address. Again, it's 135 West Victoria Street here in the city of Long Beach, California. And our services on Thursday night, I will be live streaming our Bible study on this Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. And then Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. we will be live streaming, but we also have church right here. So you are welcome to come by now. We have never closed, but you can come by at 135 West Victoria Street, 8 o'clock service, and then 11:30 service. All our services start on time and we end on time. All right. God bless you. Have a blessed day and may God best be yours. And tell somebody about it. Moments of inspiration, not moments of frustration, but moments of inspiration. And I'll be back next week. And I pray that I have some more moments of inspiration. God bless you. Have a blessed day.